Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. If you have a number 1 through 10 under your seat, get it. Hey, look under your seat. Hurry up, be quiet. Where's Derek? Derek Baker. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. If you have a number 1 through 10 under your seat, you get a basket. Look under your seat. Derek Baker's my nephew, so he gets a basket anyways. Come here, Derek. Hurry up. You got 1. Come get your basket, son. Come give me a hug, man. Come on. Love you, buddy. We're all done there. You got 1? All right, you, come here. And you, come here. Yep, and yes, I did choose them because they're black. Paper, rock, scissors for the basket. Just whoever wants first. Oh, she's got a number. All you get is this. Man, that's a heavy, that's a big step. All right, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 7. Proverbs chapter number 7. Hey, if you're black in here, stand up. If you're a black man, if you're a black man. You're only half black. All right, hold, listen, be quiet. Now it's time to preach. We're all done with that. It's time to preach. I'm tired of traveling the country and seeing this many black people in functions. I'm just tired of it. I'm getting tired of it. Here's one reason. There's some dumb barriers that some black people have. We don't want to hear this from a white man, or we don't want to hear this. There's some white people that are racist. There's some black people that are racist. There's all types of nonsense, okay? But there's been many black men that have come here to that were supposed to go out and preach the gospel that didn't make it for some reason, whether it was here or when they got out there. I'm tired of it. Don't be that guy. 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 Come here. Sit down. You got like a third in there or something? What do you got? Quarter. So your dad's a African and you're a quarter kid. All right, sit down. All right, here we go. Let's read. Let's get into this. Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for the opportunity to preach here. I just pray that the hearts are spongy and soak up the message. Individuals that need to use the altar will come and use the altar. Individuals that aren't saved will get saved. Those youngsters that are playing the game here, I just pray that you help this message to minister to the heart, help the hearts to soak it up. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible here says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live." Did you know that some people die because they don't keep God's commandments? Honor thy mother and thy father that their days may be long upon the earth. Some people's lives are short because they don't honor their mother and they don't honor their father. Mom says don't go here. Dad says don't go here, but you go there anyways and end up maimed or dead or something like that. I know a young lady in my church that wanted to do her own thing, didn't want to honor her parents, didn't want to honor God. She went out, Lord got a hold of her, got her arm, she got her arm whacked off. Now, ladies, you all want to have a man. It's going to be pretty, you're not going to have the confidence that you have now with only one arm. Fellas, ladies want a man that can put both of these up and defend her if she needs to. Fellas, you want to be able to throw the ball with your kid and pick him up and give him a hug. Don't have God get a hold of your attention in that way. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. My question to you is, what is the apple of your eye? Is the girl sitting next to you the apple of your eye? Is your cell phone the apple of your eye? Is a video game the apple of your eye? What do you love the most? And let me ask you this. How come your friends have heard you say how much you love your cell phone, how much you love your car, how much you love your new shoes, but the same friends have never heard you say how much you love your Jesus, how much you love your God? Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon the fingers, thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You see, your heart is a focal point where God can deal with you, and God will deal with you if you will allow him to. It's a focal point where these men and the preachers and teachers around here can deal with you and will deal with you if you will allow them to. It's a focal point where your parents can deal with you and will deal with you if you will allow them to. But some of you have too hard of hearts to listen to mom and dad or these guys, which is also why we need to put a filter on what gets into our heart through our eyes and through our ears. Amen. Hey, some of you guys in this section right here are struggling with pornography. Some back there, some back here, some back there, some back there, and more girls than in the years past. And here's one problem that I have. We have individuals that struggle with pornography across the room. They get the victory. And then they go to some function with the Christian kids, and they hear them talking about something so nasty or perverted that it stirs something up in them, and it takes them to a place that they don't want to be, and then they're back watching pornography or something just because of what comes out of somebody else's mouth and the effect that it has on somebody else's heart, because your heart's not right. For, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. I'm not changing the Bible. I understand the dangers of that, but we could say, or strange man. For from the stranger which flattereth with her words, for at the window of my house I looked through the chastisement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Some of you knuckleheads just choose to be void of understanding. 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. So it doesn't say that she was a hooker. It doesn't say she was a strange lady. It doesn't say she was a harlot. It just says that she had the attire of a harlot on. Some of you young ladies walk around like good, solid Christian young ladies here, but as soon as you get out in the world, you got something on that gets a little higher. And if it doesn't get a little higher, it gets a little tighter. Tight is the new nakedness. Ladies are advertising stuff that's not for sale, and then when some guy Googles at them, they get all upset. But if you weren't dressing like that, they wouldn't be looking at you like that. So, hey, if this is how you should dress here because it's pleasing to the Lord, then don't you think when you're on your own, you should be wearing the same things? Character, character, character. It's all about character. Character is something that's developed in the dark. I wasn't going to say this. I didn't plan on this, but the Lord just put it on my heart. I took a photography class in high school, and I failed because I don't even know why I took the class. I thought it was just going to be easy. Anyways, we had to have a certain black, we had to develop our pictures in this black room that had a red light that would glow. It's called a black light. It would administer a certain amount of light for the pictures to develop. And then we had to put the pictures in a certain solution so they would develop right. We had to get tongs out and hang them up so they could dry, so they could develop right. We had to take some necessary steps for the pictures to develop correctly, and you as Christians need to take the necessary steps to develop correctly. Can I get an amen? 11, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him and said unto him, this reminds me of a little bug that we have in Iowa. Y'all might probably have them here. I live right on the Mississippi River, about 200-300 yards away. So we can get that fishing in, amen? We have these bugs called shadflies. They're about that long. They have antennas on the back that are longer than the body, and then they have regular antennas in the front. Their wings are about as long as their body. Just weird little bugs. Anyways, the shadfly's lifespan is 24 hours. If I only got to live 24 hours, I'd at least want to see the whole city. Amen? But a lot of shadflies, they're born, they fall in the water, a bass comes and gobbles them up. Some shadflies fly around and a bat devours them. Some fly around and birds devour them. Some spend the end of their lives doing this, tangled up in spider webs. Some not that. Some get wrapped up and then bam, the fang sunk into them, and that's how they die. But some get a human to come by and pick them up, and they fly off. But they fly off, and they hit the ground, some of them, because their wings all jacked up. See, they've been set free, but they're still a little jacked up because they went someplace that it would have been best for them not to go. Amen? And then some get freed by the bug lovers, and they can fly, and they can do everything, but their legs all jacked up. Like that individual that I was telling you with the arm. Amen? But I dare say if the shadfly knew where the water was, the shadfly wouldn't go nowhere near the water. I dare say if the shadfly knew where the bats were, wouldn't be flying by the bats. I dare say that if the shadfly knew where the spider webs were, they wouldn't go nowhere near the spider web, so they wouldn't end up all tangled and mangled up until they die. And you guys know where the bats are, and you guys know where the spider webs are, but you guys still tend to go there through the television, through physically. Stop going where the webs are. Stop getting devoured up. Can I get an amen? 14, I have peace offerings with me this day. I have paid my vows. Therefore come I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. She said, I made it look real nice. I made it smell real nice. And I'm here to say that everything that glitters is not gold. Just because he looks like a nice young man does not mean that he is a nice young man. Just because she looks like a nice young lady does not mean that she's a nice young lady. By the way, God has given you guys a thing called parents. And parents have a thing called intuition. Hey, mother's intuition, man, that's something real serious. One of the strongest things that a mother has. So do you well, fellas, when mom says, she's not the one to listen up. And I believe that in this category that the father's intuition may be a little bit stronger than mother's when he says, that's not the girl for you, and you had better listen up. Amen? I said amen?
Amen.
Yeah, but I like this boy a whole bunch, and my dad doesn't. Well, why do you think that God gave you your dad? I'll pause so you can marinate on that one for just a moment. 18, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. To solace means to comfort. And I wonder, why did he need comforting? Was his, maybe he had a single parent home. His mom wasn't there. His dad was there. Maybe he had some bitterness. He had taken a, and why did she need comforting? She says here, for the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. Was she bitter because he was taking journeys? He had taken a bag of money with him. Was she bitter because she was taking money? He was taking money and will come home at the day appointed. Bitterness is eating up somebody in this section right now. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. And it's the only reason it's tearing you up is because you're allowing it to. Bitterness in this section, there's at least one person. I say one here, one back there. Same over here, same over here. Some of you guys could get it right today. Some of you guys could come get it right this second. But you're hanging on to something. I'm going to tell you two stories about bitterness. There was a young man who shot and killed another young man in cold blood, 16 years old. They only sentenced that man to be locked up till he was 18. The boy of the mother who was killed sat in the courtroom. They sentenced him till he was 18. She got up. She walked past him. She said, I'm going to kill you. And then she left. A month passed by. She gave him, she put some money on his book so that he could get reading material, eat food, get letters and stuff. She sent him letters. He sent her letters back. She called him, he called her. It was time for him to get out, but the only way he could get out was if he had a job. So the lady went out and found a job for this man that killed her son. And then, when it was time for him to get out of the halfway house, he had to be at a house that had a landline. And all his people and all his relatives lived the same lifestyle or had felonies. He couldn't be there. So she offered him to come and live with her. That'd be an interesting first night, huh? Sleeping with your eye wide open. Both of them. But here's what happened. He came, he lived, and she's made this statement. She said, do you remember when I said I was going to kill you? He said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I did. That boy is dead. And do you know why that happened? Because she was able to forgive him. So how come you can't forgive mom? How come you can't forgive dad? Why are you still hanging on to the bitterness on whatever, one of these teachers, whoever? Hey, you can come get it right. You can come get it right. Now you can get it right after the service. You can go straight to the person. You can get it right. Oh, yeah, but that's not my issue. I've been raped or I've been molested. That's why you're hanging on to your bitterness. I was preaching, and I was doing a God Bless America rally. I preached in a bunch of schools. I preached all over the place. And I'm a soul winner. I love a soul winner. I witnessed to a man today out in front of the building. I wanted to get his attention. He looked like he didn't have much money. I got four quarters out. I paid a dollar to let him listen to my plan of salvation, but he gave me a solid one. I was in Ohio, and we were fishing. I led a man to the Lord. I was telling these stories day by day. I gave a little bit of my testimony and left cliffhangers. That's what I was instructed to do. That's what I did. I was fishing with the man.
We pulled up to this other guy on shore. He didn't have any, he was running out of minnows. I asked him if he knew he was going to heaven or not. He trusted Christ. We came, me and Spencer Smith walked up on these two kids. We were out soul winning. And I said, where y'all going? And they said, home. I said, no, where are you going when you die? And they said, home. And I said, no, I just want to know if you're gonna go to heaven or not when you die. And they said, oh. And I showed them a couple pictures and stuff, and those youngsters got saved. And there was a lady at the restaurant. I was able to, all the preachers were trying to get his money for a tip. And I'm thinking, man, everybody's trying to get a tip. Nobody's pulling out tracks. So I was like, I'll go to my car, I'll get the tip. Don't worry about the tip. And then I said, everybody's looking to get you a tip, but I got something way far better than a tip. Do you know for sure if you're going to heaven or not when you die? And she said, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I said, okay, if I worked with you, and I asked you how I could get to heaven, what would you tell me? And she said, being good or something. I said, you're going to go to hell if that's what you're trusting in. And her manager was over here hawking me like he just wanted me to leave her alone. And I didn't let that bother me, though. I kept witnessing. And if he would have told me to stop, I would have stopped and I would have went about my business. But he didn't. And she got saved. And the next day, some preachers came, and that manager ended up getting saved. You see, he wasn't looking because he wanted us to get out of there. He was looking because he wanted some of Jesus. There's people all over that want to be part of Jesus. By the way, you guys could be the greatest group of soul winners this world has ever seen if you choose to be. Or you could just be. Anyway, so this young lady, she comes to me. The platform is higher than this. I'm at this big symphony hall. She comes down. I could barely see her. But she was weeping. I could see that. Pale face, red hair, tears streaming down her face. I said, God, help me help this young lady with her bitterness. I don't know what's going on or why she's bitter. She came and I gave some of my testimony. I talked about how my mom was young when she had me and this, that, and the other. And she said, she had some of the same story. And she said, then my dad, he had to leave us he got locked up because he was too old. And then it was like a stalemate with the conversation. Then her mom, who was standing next to her, said, here's the story. Her mom was raped by her dad, and she was born. So her father was her grandfather. That's a crazy situation. So I'm like, okay, that's why she's bitter. How can I help her? And then she opened her mouth and she said, I've been hearing you tell all these stories about you leading people to the Lord. I was wondering if you'd go to my mom's house and lead her to the Lord. And I was like, wow, what a, I've not seen this from adults. This is something real special here. She's not bitter about her situation. She cares about her mom's salvation. Her mother, who had given her up, she was crying and weeping because she hadn't got saved. So then she said to me, could you go by her house? I said, sure. They gave me the address. It was clearly in the hood. I'm thinking, man, I'm definitely going to need to take my pistol on this one. And I said, no, I'm not going to take my pistol because I don't want somebody to get shot. And I was like, well, I don't want to get shot. I'm taking the pistol. So, and then I was thinking, man, Brother Grimaldi is going to send me with this. I knew he was going to send me with this round guy. He's got this little mustache. He's not going to be a help in the situation. Sure enough, I get up. I go there. He sent me with him. So I said, okay, God, you're in control. We went to the donut shop to get some donuts and coffee like good Baptists do. And then they sent me a Google picture of this man and this lady. Mr. Grinch is his name. This thugged out black dude, Mr. Grinch. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely bringing a pistol. And then we get there. Man, I wasn't sleeping at all because I was so afraid that I was going to have to tell this girl she didn't get saved. Or Mr. Grinch was going to open the door. What you want with my woman, fool? Or they weren't going to be home. I went to sleep. I woke up, thought about this. I went to sleep. I woke up, thought about that. But we get there. I pull up to the gate. I swing the gate open. I take one step, two steps, and she opens the door and comes out like she had been waiting for us to come. I gave her the plan of salvation. I took about 10 minutes, but I thoroughly went through the gospel with her. That's the key, thoroughly. And she ended up trusting Christ as Lord and Savior. I was able to call that girl, and she was rejoicing. But had the girl been bitterness about that rape, had the girl been bitterness about this, had been bitter about this, that, or the other, her mom wouldn't even got saved. So if she can forgive, how come you can't forgive? So I'm asking you, will you forgive whoever you need to forgive? I didn't plan on spending so much time on that, but maybe you're the one that needs to forgive. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her tongue, she forced him. She puts a little peer pressure on him. Peer pressure is one of the most wonderful things a Christian can do. You need to put some peer pressure on your peers to do right. Amen. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till the dart strike through his liver. How much time do I have? oh man, I'm way ahead of the game.
Listen here.
He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or a fool to the correction of the stocks, till the dart strike through his liver. So this makes me think, and I understand they're talking about diseases, but this makes me think of Iowa. We have some of the best deer on the planet. People come from all over to shoot them. Indiana has some of the best deer on the planet. I think we're both in the top five, all over to shoot them. But you know how that 10-point buck gets to be a 10-point buck or a 50-point buck? They're real finicky. Oh, what was that sound? I'm not going that way. Oh, that smells real funny. I'm not going that way. What was that? I'm not going that way. And they're springing off away from disaster all the time. Real finicky, real careful. Real finicky, real careful. And that's how they survive. It'd be good for us to be real finicky and real careful about some things that we may survive as Christians. So there's a thing called Iowa rut season. During Iowa rut season, more deers die than ever. They're getting smacked by cars. People are shooting them. Because during the Iowa rut season, all the deer is thinking about it's got to find a lady, got to find a lady, got to find a lady. Then pow! The dart strikes right through his liver. As he's running around looking for that lady, the man's up in the stand like, yeah, bam! It's not funny! It's not funny because half you guys are running around, got to find a lady, got to find a lady. Pow! The dart's going to strike through your liver. You don't even look at ladies as ladies. You walk around seeing ladies, you see she's got nice hair, she's got nice eyes, she's got nice body parts, she's got nice features. You don't see ladies as ladies. You see them as things. And that's a problem. And you young ladies don't see men as men. He's got a nice jaw structure, muscles, or whatever you young ladies think about. Instead of, that's just a nice young man. And you start to see those features, and then it becomes this thought, then it becomes that thought, then bam, the dart struck through your liver. And you're hooked on pornography, or whatever the problem is. Some of you guys that just raised your hand, that you're engaged, you got problems with pornography. How do you think that's going to work out for your marriage? Who's watching pornography in this row? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Statistically, one of you guys is watching it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Statistically, one of you guys is watching it. Who is it? What about over here? Who wants the dart to strike through their liver? It's preaching time. You can come and you can get it right. Stand up. Give me a hug. It's good to see you. I love you. I hope you're not one of the ones struggling with it. Is that why God brought me over there? Just to say I love you. I dare say it's just because he wanted me to know that I love you, but I hope it's not. And if it is, I'll help you. I need you men to stand up, please. Is there any other teachers or administrators in here? Could you stand up, please? Look around at them all. They'd be happy to help you. They'd be happy to help you. Sit down, please. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death, which makes me think of, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1:15. So, I just want to encourage you, if you're not, if you got some bitterness, in a second, come down and get it right. I'm about to be done. Maybe I'm done so y'all can come do some business. I'm going to tell this one last story. There was a young person. She was about, I don't remember how old the mom was, but the boy was about 3 or 4. She witnessed to the young boy. He didn't want to get saved. He didn't really know what was going on. 5, 6, 7. Same thing, 8, 9, 10. He began to get kind of rebellious towards the gospel. I don't want much to do with that. 10, 11, 12, 13, same thing. 14, 15, 16, real hard, real rebellious towards the gospel. What do you get when you turn 16? Driver's license. He was out cruising on the highway, and then bam, smacked by some vehicle. I don't remember what the vehicle. What kind of vehicle it was, it's not really relevant. The people called mom from the scene of the accident because he wasn't going to make it to the hospital. Mom calls the preacher. I know the preacher that mom called. Preacher gets to the scene first. Son, you need to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Won't you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, son? Nope. I don't want to trust Christ. He was there. He was with it. He had an opportunity. Mom makes it to the scene, pleading with the young man to get saved. Nope. They get him to the hospital. He sits in the hospital bed with mom on this side. Son, won't you please trust Christ as your Lord and Savior? Preacher, pleading on this side, won't you please trust Christ as your Lord and Savior? Boy sits up. I don't want to get saved. I don't need to get saved. And then he dies. So they thought. Then they heard him scream. They're coming for me, Mom. They're coming for me, Mom. Don't let them get me. Don't let them get me. I know Brother Dan Martin. So who knows Brother Dan Martin? Okay, so he was a firefighter. He's told me some stories before I even told him that story. And the guy was screaming the same thing. They're coming for me, Mom. They're coming for me, Mom. So my question to you is, when you die, who's coming for you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll get right to it. You say, Brother Todd, I do not know 100% sure that if I was to die that I would go to heaven. If that's you, just slip your hand up. I don't want them coming for me. I'm not 100% sure. I know I'm in Bible college, but I don't know. If that's you, could you slip your hand up? Solid. I'll ask one more time, and now listen to this statement. Those of you that are on the altar, listen to this statement. Those of you that are out there, listen to this statement. This may be the very last time anybody ever ask you if you know for sure you're going to heaven or not. So whether you're down here already or you're out in the crowd, you say, Brother Todd, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. A little sure doesn't get you to heaven. I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. If that's you, slip your hand up, slip your hand down.